Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversations. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, we're going to have some information on what could be the Wyatt Six. We're going to talk about a few new AEW signings. But I wanted to start off with this because this morning I read something that really bothered me. Jimmy Smith, former WWE announcer, as everybody knows, was let go. And we on this show said we thought he did a really good job. We thought he was more than adequate at his job. Enjoyed listening to him, and we never had anything bad to say about him. And I guess he's went on a tirade. I guess he cannot handle the fact that he was released because he is now basically disrespecting the wrestling business. He's saying, let's be fair, I never was a wrestling announcer or commentator. I was playing a role. You can't commentate something that's not real. I was pretending to be a commentator on a pretend show about pretend writer, about pretend wrestlers who pretend to fight. Paraphrasing a little bit, but this caused Booker T to lose his mind, saying, well, the check wasn't pretend and the money wasn't pretend. And this is precisely why you don't let people who aren't involved in the business into the business, because when this, something like this happens, then they go out and badmouth the business. And that's why he says, I'm not for letting anyone in the business who does not, in fact, belong in the business. Well, both people are wrong. Booker T's less wrong, but both are wrong, in my opinion. I'll tell you why. First off, I don't know who Jimmy Smith thinks he is. Number one, I don't care what you're hired to commentate on. You are a commentator. Most of you commentators do not know the outcome before the match. They do that on purpose to keep it fresh for them. So to you, it wasn't like you had to commentate on something you already knew, every move that was going to happen. You already knew the outcome. You didn't. So of course you're commentating on it. You weren't playing a pretend commentator. You were a commentator. Number two, Booker T is right. You had no problem cashing the checks. Those weren't pretend. And number three, it's really a bad look and an extremely juvenile move to try to undermine your former job when you were so happy to get it. Remember, oh, this is a lifetime dream for me. This is wonderful. I'm so happy to be here, really. So you were happy to be a pretend announcer in commentating on pretend fights. That is until you were fired. And then the whole thing's a shit show, and no serious person would ever really want to be a part of it. Gotcha. Now here's why Booker T's wrong. What about Pat McAfee? Now, I know Booker T's going to say, well, McAfee had some wrestling matches. He's sort of in the business. But Pat McAfee didn't come from the wrestling business. And Pat McAfee's doing just fine. There are many more announcers that didn't have their chops originally in the wrestling business, and they did just fine, as well as some athletes who did just fine. So Booker T's not right when he says you can't let in outsiders in. Of course you have to let outsiders in. You just got to pick your outsiders a little more carefully. So listen, we never criticized Jimmy Smith on this show. We said he did a good job, and he did do a good job. And unlike him, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and take it back. I think he did an excellent job. I think he's a very small person. And I think when you feel the need to undermine the hand that fed you because they no longer wished to go in the direction that they were going with you, you do so out of ego, and you do so out of, one word for it, right? And that's being butthurt. And it's a shame that you have to stoop there, because I think it shows future employers what you might do if he doesn't work out for your company. Don't think future employers don't look at this and say, oh, well, he's a good announcer and all, but then if we decide to go another direction, he's going to badmouth the company in public, and do we really want some guy like that on our payroll? And the answer mostly is no. So you've done yourself no favors, Jimmy. You've done yourself no favors. The look is horrible. You had nothing but great things to say about the wrestlers and the athletes and how wonderful it was until you were released, and now it's a circus, and no serious person would take it seriously, and all that stuff, right? Very sad to see, Tom, because at the end of the day, this is why wrestling tries so hard to protect itself from outsiders.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Jimmy Smith was never somebody who I thought was a bad commentator. I actually thought he did a pretty good job. And to have, he, for whatever reason, gets terminated, okay, well, nothing is ever promised, so, things happen. And they were making some changes. He happened to be a part of that change, and how, if it was negative for him, then, that's life. But to go on a tirade and to crap all over the wrestling business that made you famous, by the way, because Jimmy Smith was not somebody who I ever heard of. I'm sure that he was somebody in another, in another sports commentary area that was doing some things, but I never really heard of him. He wasn't famous until he hit WWE. To crap on the business that made him basically a millionaire is, ill-advised and, like you said, butthurt. There's plenty of outsiders. As for Booker T, what he said, plenty of outsiders that came into the WWE that did very well. So regardless, I just what he said was the check wasn't fake. Yeah, you're right. The check wasn't fake, and he had no problem cashing it. And to crap all over that business, look, where is he going to go, AEW? And they're going to have their guard up and be like, well, what if he does that to us? No.
Yeah, he said, I don't think he's going to do any more wrestling commentary. But listen, of course, he was known in the commentary business, but he was introduced to a whole new group of fans. And he had one more thing he could put on his list of accomplishments, and that is, listen, I commentated for the biggest wrestling federation during the biggest shows of their life, and certainly could have got a gig doing it again. That's something you put on your resume. Well, you can cross it off your resume now, because any good wrestling federation is going to say, I don't want that guy. He just crapped all over the business. Yeah, that's who we're going to bring in. Very stupid by Jimmy Smith, and I'm really surprised, Mike. I thought he was smarter than that.
Right. Think about this. Where was Jonathan Coachman before he was with the WWE? Before. Not
ESPN.
Not after. Right. And then they brought him in, and then he went back to ESPN. In any part of thing, he never badmouthed any one of the two companies. He went from ESPN to the WWE. The WWE said, okay, whatever, we will do this with you. And then he ended up going back to ESPN. So, and he didn't do it. And neither did Mauro Ranallo.
Sure.
He had his problems.
And listen, if Jimmy Smith wanted to badmouth Triple H, if Jimmy Smith said, look, under Vince McMahon wanted someone like me. Triple H does not want someone like me. Triple H is not is not Vince McMahon, and, we don't see eye to eye, apparently. That's fine. It's okay to criticize that. But when you criticize the whole business, in other words, you basically said, I took the job for the money. I hate the stupid thing. It's dumb. I never felt like I was commentating. I felt like I was playing a role. It's beneath me. Come on. Come on. You want to take a shot at Triple H and say, you know, I had a pretty good thing under Vince McMahon, and he loved my work, and apparently Triple H doesn't. And, you know, I don't think very much of Triple H's foresight. That's fine. But don't crap on the business. Doesn't make a lot of sense, Todd. I'm disappointed in Jimmy Smith. I really am.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, with about Jimmy Smith and everything, like Tom said, like you said, and like I said, I always thought he was a great commentator. But after the way he talked about the business, downgrading it, he could have took the high road. Say, I just want to say thank you to the WWE Universe for supporting me throughout for the last several months, and thank you to the WWE itself, not the low.
And initially he did. That's initially what he did. Said, I met some wonderful people, some great athletes. I had a lot of fun. But then he got bitter somehow. I don't know what the hell happened. Anyway, pretty disappointing. Also disappointing is, if you know who Ariel Helwani is, he's an interviewer who interviews a lot of wrestling personalities. He had Tony Khan on his show. It was a shitstorm. Helwani himself said, worst interview I've ever done, most frustrating. He wouldn't answer any questions. He's kind of let it slip that CM Punk, which I suspected, we said on this show, don't be surprised if CM Punk had some kind of piece of the business or some kind of executive role, because he's not the type of guy to come into a federation and say, give me all kinds of money, but no power. Well, now he kind of let it slip that he might have some actual power in the company. So I don't know where the hell that's going to go. What I do know is the Sharing is off the diamond, as they say. The year or two of the fans saying, you can't criticize AEW, they're new and fresh and wonderful and hip, it's over. And now Tony Khan's got to run this federation with some criticism, and he ain't handling it well. He ain't handling it well at all. Now the pressure's on him. It's no more, everything I do is magic and wonderful, and we just dance around all day and sing Kumbaya. Now he's hearing it from the fans, and then he'll like it. So I don't know. I know he pissed off Ariel Helwani, who basically said, look, I get him on the show and everything's no comment. I can't answer that, no comment. You can't comment on your own feelings. He didn't ask him about the legal ramifications of what happened after the scrum. He said, how were you feeling at that moment when CM Punk started saying that stuff? Oh, I can't comment on that. Well, of course you can. It's your own personal feelings. Of course you can comment on it. Now, some people in AEW, I'm telling you right now, there are some people saying you will not see Kenny Omega or the Bucks back. That they feel extraordinarily blighted by this suspension, and they feel like they were backstabbed and betrayed, and they're not into it. So I don't know. Some people saying you might not see CM Punk back. Some people saying you might. Now, I heard he was quietly let go. I heard he was, they came to some terms on the rest of his contract. He was quietly let go. But if he has some kind of power in that company, which was indicated that he might, I don't know. I don't know for sure. What I do know is, if you're going to be the face of the company, which Tony Khan wants to be, then you got to be able to answer questions when you get on television, Mike.
You have to. And think about this. I know we're going to get into what happened with Cody, you know, at some point. But think about this. They signed CM Punk before all this stuff started happening with Cody, right? Before he got the book taken away, before that and all that stuff. And then kind of makes you wonder if Cody, when Cody found out that they signed CM Punk, if Cody went to Tony Khan and said, hey, do you really want to do this? you know, and outline to Tony Khan the problems with him, not between him and CM Punk, but with CM Punk in general, right? And so, and then Khan said, probably said, yes, I do, and because he can bring faces to TV sets and stuff like that. So, yeah, kind of makes you wonder if this is part of the whole Cody Rhodes not being there anymore.
It's tough to say. I mean, we can speculate, but all we know is that Cody Rhodes himself has said there's a lot more to it than you know, we've said. So maybe someday it'll come out. I don't know. All I know is we said on this show, this is a mistake. You are going to get a bump in ratings for a month or two, and then you're going to get a shit show backstage. You're going to get all kinds of problems. It follows him everywhere he goes. And now even some of his staunchest fans are turning their back on him, saying, you know, listen, the guy's an idiot. He can't coexist with anyone. He'd have to have a federation consisting of himself and a bunch of jobbers for him to be happy. That's it. So anyway, they've signed a few more people. They signed Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis. Good luck there. I like Mike Bennett. I've always liked Mike Bennett. I do not like Maria Kanellis. I'll tell you why I don't like Maria Kanellis. I don't like anyone who steals money. And I believe she stole money. She signed with the WWE fully understanding she was pregnant, didn't release it, and then when she got said, oh, well, I can't do anything. So I want my 8 months off plus another 4 or 5 months of taking care of the baby, and I want to be fully paid. Yeah, you knew that. You knew that, and you didn't disclose it. It's called stealing money where I come from. So don't like her, plus she's a big mouth. If everything doesn't go her way, she's going to go to the nearest press that she can find and say, this and they don't treat me fair, and that's not. And so welcome to another issue, Tony Khan. Welcome to another issue. So we'll see how that goes. As far as the Soraya thing, the Paige thing, I've been asked to comment on that, so let me just say this. Word came out that the WWE made her an offer prior to her AEW acceptance, and she said no. She said it was a low-ball offer, and they had said, we might, you know, we'll try to accommodate you to get you back in the ring, but, you know, there'll be a role outside the ring as well, and she basically said no, and that Tony Khan, in the genius that he is, made sure Soraya could be cleared to wrestle before he signed her. Let me break this down. You give a doctor enough money to clear anybody. Bret Hart got cleared to wrestle Vince McMahon. Bret Hart had a stroke. It's called payola. Give him enough money and they'll say, she's fine. Because what do they care? If she breaks her neck and is paralyzed, they'll say, well, perfectly healthy people broke their neck and got paralyzed. Look at draws. Wasn't because of anything we did. So they got nothing to lose. So, of course, if you want to grease their hand, they're going to say, oh, she's ready to wrestle. Wait till she gets injured, Tony, and then it's going to be your fault. And she's going to turn on you like a snake and say, well, I was kind of pressured into it before I signed my contract, and I sort of knew that this wasn't the right move, but what could I do? Hoo, hoo, hoo. I'm tired of this. Tired of it. You want to take the chance, guy? Take the chance. And I pray nothing happens to her. But I got news. If it does, you're going to be wholly responsible. In her eyes and in the fans' eyes, you're going to be wholly responsible. I think it's a bad move, Tom. I really do. I think, you know, if she wanted to contribute by being a manager or something, I'm all for that. But full-time wrestler, you know, listen. I'm not thrilled with that, especially in AEW, where look how many injuries AEW has. And yep. Tom is not there. Tom is too busy doing something else. But we go to the next person. All right, Mike, what do you think?
We'll see what happens. I just want to see what happens because, look, you know, when Brian had his injury, his neck injury, and after that he did his stuff and he wanted to get back in the ring, and then for the longest time the WWE didn't want to let him back in the ring, and he ended up getting back in the ring, but they didn't want to let him do much, so he ended up leaving and going to AEW. That may be a little bit different of a situation. We got to see what happens. If, yeah, there may be a little pressure to a doctor to clear her, but what happens if they clear her and she goes in there and nothing happens, right?
But the bottom line is this. You can pray all you want that that's going to happen, and I do too. But do you really want to take that chance? Now, did they do that with Daniel Bryan? Yeah, but a lot of doctors cleared Daniel Bryan, including his own doctor. See, his own doctor would have more skin in the game. WWE doctors are very reluctant to clear someone because they don't want something to happen to them and say, well, you cleared me. So for Tony Khan to say, well, I found a doctor somewhere out in Zimbabwe who practices voodoo medicine, who prayed on it and said she's fine. Listen, I want to hear her doctor say that, because remember what her doctor said. Her doctor said, one slip and you're paralyzed for life. That's what her doctor said initially after her surgery. That's why she sat on her ass in the WWE for how many years collecting a paycheck? Because she said, her doctor said, one slip and you're done. Now all of a sudden it's, well, the WWE held me back. I'm more than ready to get back into the ring. I'm chomping at the bit. It was the evil WWE who stopped me. No, it was your own doctor. Every time the WWE had something for you to do, my doctor says, all of a sudden you're fine. So it's one of two things, Mike. Either she lied through her teeth because she didn't feel like doing anything and collected a paycheck, or she is bluffing it now and just decides she's going to take the chance.
I think it's probably the second one, that she's bluffing and she just wants to take the chance because I might be giving her too much credit, but maybe she actually does miss it, you know, miss being
probably
in the ring,
does.
Miss it, you know.
Look, she probably does, Mike. I'm not saying she doesn't love wrestling. Her whole family's involved in wrestling. I'm sure she does. I'm just saying that, are you going to be safer in AEW than you are in WWE? And my answer to that question is no. I'm looking at the amount of – how long did Adam Cole wrestle? And he was fine. He goes over there. He's got a concussion that may possibly end his career. They're saying he may never get back in the ring again. Some people are saying he may never get back in the ring again. His concussion is that severe. How many people go down on AEW, even in the women's division? You know, these women in the AEW, they're out to prove something. So they're like, well, you know, Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker are going at each other and really, you know, connecting. It's not going to take much. You got Nyla Rose floating around over there, which is technically a man. I don't know. I don't know if this is the right spot for her. I hope. I really do. I like Paige as a wrestler. But I don't know. It's been a very long time since she's been in the ring. And we'll see what she has to offer. But I know that Tony Khan's taking a terrible chance. And he's taking a terrible chance at a time when he's taking too many chances. Right now, the publicity for AEW is terrible. If, God forbid, something happens in the first few matches for Saraya, they're going to say, you lied. You found some doctor who just took your filthy money and said she's okay. And now look what happened to the poor girl. If that happens, this is a really bad thing for AEW, Tom.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, honestly, look, the good thing about Paige being there is that she can definitely play a managerial role. I mean, Ruby Soho is there, and what are you doing with her? absolutely nothing. So why don't you put them two back together? It's familiar, and I think fans would take to it. To get her back in the ring, whether she was cleared by whatever voodoo doctor, witch doctor, whatever you want to call them, cleared her to wrestle, I think that's a mistake, because if something does happen, and I pray that it doesn't, if something does happen, it's all going to come back on Tony Khan. You know what kind of AEW fans and how they are, and they're going to be the first ones to blame Tony Khan. Everybody has free.
Yeah, plus you got to realize, if she just said, I'm going to come back and do one more match, or I'm just going to do one or two matches a year, I'd say, oh, you know, people can, she can handpick her opponent. They can be extremely careful with her. It could be okay. But if you're going to return to the active roster, I mean, even Edge didn't do that. He picks his spots. Oh, I'll wrestle one time here, one time there, but I'm not actively wrestling. So we'll see. I mean, he spent how many years rehabbing? So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I guess we'll wait and see. Aside from that, we wanted to talk a little bit about this Wyatt Six thing, because all kinds of things are happening. Everybody's trying to get on it. And apparently Eva Marie, if you remember her, put up some kind of Instagram or Twitter post where she threw her underwear toward a garbage can and said, if I miss it, I'm gay. And she missed it. And then she took a Lily doll and said, if I make the basket, I'm going back to WWE. And she made it. If the WWE even thinks, if the WWE dreams about putting Eva Marie in a group with Bray Wyatt, they should wake up and apologize. This girl can't string two sentences together, and she literally tripped on her own heels during the Alexa Bliss playground segment. She's a horror show. No. The answer is no. Don't put her anywhere near anybody creative where she's going to have to do anything that's remotely creative, because she doesn't have a creative bone in her body. A lot of people saying Liv Morgan being kind of coy about it, posted a picture of herself with that weird smile on her face saying, don't worry, everything's fine. We'll see. What I'm hearing is this. I'm hearing almost definitely one of the Wyatt's six is going to be Joe Gacy. But I hear the WWE filed for a trademark for the name Uncle Harper. I have no idea what that means, because we know Luke Harper is no longer with us, unless they're going to somehow honor him by creating a character. I don't even know if that's a good idea. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, but they're filing names left and right. So we'll see. Apparently he is going to come in with some sort of an entourage. Be interesting to see how that goes. And from what I'm hearing, the WWE is really big on trying to get together the Bloodline versus the Wyatt family at Survivor Series. I think that's a mistake, and I'll tell you why. Because both teams are too popular. I don't think there's anything Bray Wyatt can do to become such a heel that the fans will root for the Bloodline, and I don't think there's anything the Bloodline can do that will make them such heels that they'll root for the Wyatt. They're just going to root for both of them. Not sure that's the greatest move, Todd, but that's what I'm hearing. That's the direction they're trying to go.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, if they do this, it's going to be a mess. And like you said, I don't think if I was the one of the writers or producers of this, it's like we're not going to have the Bloodline versus the Wyatts. And last time we saw that, when the Shield was together, we saw that.
Right. You know, listen, it's not that it wouldn't be a good match. It would be. It's just that, who are you trying to promote? Who is it that you're trying to get over? Are you trying to get the Wyatts over as heels? Well, then you got to substantially make the Bloodline a lot more faces than they are right now. Are you trying to get the Wyatts over as faces, if you are, it's extremely hard to understand who you're trying to get over if you're trying to feud those two. It's just going to split the fans, in my opinion. So we'll see what ends up happening there, Mike. But we do know this, Bray Wyatt's not coming alone. So we are expecting at least, I'm almost positive, Gacy's one of them.
And apparently, like we said, they've already talked to Rowan. And I would guarantee you that even though I've heard that Bo Dallas had some sort of an injury, that one of the conditions on Bray coming back is to bring back Bo, to bring back his brother, you know. So I would assume that that's going to happen. And we know you look at the potential people as females that could be in the group. Think about this. Which active wrestler looks most like Sister Abigail? Think about it. Without her mask, if you look at Nikki Cross, she looks a lot like Sister Abigail.
Her or Sonya Deville, I guess, but Sonya Deville would not make a good Sister Abigail. Sonya Deville would just not. Sonya Deville's a good worker, but she doesn't have that. It's miscasting. See, this is going to be very important. You can't miscast people. When you had the original Wyatt family, you couldn't have had a better cast. Bray Wyatt was the guy who did all the talking. He looked demented. He had two gigantic, crazy-looking hillbilly-type people with him. Who fit the part perfectly. Then he added Braun Strowman, who was bigger than even them. And you're like, oh, my God. You know, it's like the backwoods Texas Chainsaw Massacre family or something. If you want to start adding other people, boy, you better make sure they fit the bill. You don't want to add somebody who just doesn't feel right. Like when they tried to add Daniel Bryan, and I know it was just a bluff, but, man, that wouldn't have worked. That wouldn't have worked at all. And I just hope they don't add people who really don't add anything to this. Because if they do, it's going to fail. I'm telling you right now, it's going to fail. The casting for this has got to be perfect. And it's not Eva Marie, I can tell you that. Now, this is definitely going to have something to do with Alexa Bliss. We know that. But I don't know whether she's going to be friend or foe. That remains to be seen. We do know that Raw had a huge, a substantial ratings boost this week. Over 150,000 extra people watched. It got close to the 2 million mark, right around, I think, 1,860,000 or whatever, so pretty close. I imagine SmackDown's going to do a huge number tonight. And so it's working. It's absolutely working, but now the games are over. The little QR codes and the cute little hypes are over now. And Bray Wyatt's got to take that microphone, and he's got to deliver. And I know he can do it, but I want to know who the rest of the people are. Because it's going to be important. Because as much as Harper and even Rowan could deliver on the mic when they were asked to, they didn't have to too much when Bray Wyatt was there. It wasn't their job. They said a few words. But mostly it was him. I just do find it fascinating that they've filed a trademark for the name Uncle Harper Mike, because it sounds to me like they're going to try to either name a character after Luke Harper in tribute or in some way incorporate him into this group.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, look, we saw what they did on AEW with, and they continue to do it with one and a half or whatever they call Harper's son, right? Yeah. So, but apparently, if they're gonna do this, they probably talked with Harper's widow and she's probably okay this, I guess. If they're moving ahead on it, you know.
You would think so. I mean, obviously Bray Wyatt was very close to him. So you would expect that he might want to do something like that. The problem I see, I guess it's a good problem to a certain extent, but the problem I see is that when you bring in this Wyatt family, I don't care what they do, for a good several months, they're going to be very popular because the fans are happy to see him back. They're happy to see this new gimmick. They're getting used to the family. It's cool. It's different. It's fun. And if you're going to thrust them immediately right into the, we're going to have a Survivor Series match against the Bloodline, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's the right move. As a writer, you would have to say to me, we're trying to get the Wyatts over as heels. If you say that, then I say, okay, well, keep them away from the Bloodline for now. And they got to have to do some diabolical shit because the fans are going to cheer them. So they're going to have to do some things that the fans definitely disagree with and definitely would not cheer. Find some guys that the fans really and truly and honestly like, and they'll have to do some horrible things to them. Then if you want to slowly make the Bloodline a little less heelish and a little more face-oriented, we'll be able to get that done in several months. If you want them to be faces, then they got to take on the bad guys. They got to take on the guys that the fans are booing out of the building, and that's not the Bloodline. So you'd have to reconsider that too. It's going to be difficult. And, you know, I had this conversation with someone a few nights ago, and they said, well, we know Bray Wyatt's not, you know, a five-star wrestler. What's it going to take to make him huge? And I said, storylines. Got to have the proper storylines. You've got to have the proper opponents. Without the proper antagonist, if you're the protagonist, in a novel or in a television show, you have to have the perfect antagonist. You have to have the person that the people who read your books or watch your movie or your television show are rooting against. And therefore, you're the protagonist by proxy and they're cheering you on. You've got to have that guy or that group of guys. I don't know who the Wyatt's group of guys will be that are the antagonists if you want them to be the protagonists. And if you want them to be the antagonists, I don't know who the protagonists are going to be. The Bloodline? They're not even getting along right now. I don't know. Very difficult, Tom, and it's going to rely, the Bray Wyatt success or failure is indeed going to rely on storylines this time around.
It really is, and I really hope they pull the trigger on the right opponent, and that's the key to it all. The two things that they need to really do is get Bray Wyatt on that mic and cut a promo, because you know the fans are waiting for it, and he's coming tonight, that's for sure. So he needs to cut a promo, and they need to have an – if they were smart, they already had an opponent waiting in the wings, not just to be like, who do we put him up against? Let's put him up against, Madcap Moss. It's going to be a flop. They need to have the right opponent. Hopefully they do. Hopefully this has been in the waiting for months and months since they, you know, leaked his return. Promo and the storytelling has to be the key. Because if there's no storytelling, then it doesn't make sense, and they're going to ruin him once again. And much like Joe Biden's winter, it's going to be too late to revamp him.
Yeah, it's going to be crucially important that they have the right moves. And again, do I think bringing in six people is too many? Yes. Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why. It's too many people to get over at one time. Rowan and Harper didn't really have to get over. They were almost the same. They were just two big hillbilly-ish psycho monsters. There was no personality there as far as anything. It was just, we're two big psycho monsters. And then they added Braun Strowman. He's another psycho monster. But if you're going to have each one of these have different personalities, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people to get over. That's more than's in the bloodline right now. You basically got Roman, the Usos, obviously Sammy, and Solo. That's five. You have six? Well, okay. One of them's going to be a female, so that one could sit out. See, this is the problem. By proxy, the only five-man group you have to go against the Wyatts would be the bloodline. There's nobody else that has five people in it. And I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll work some program out where this is not a mistake and this is going to really get one of the two teams over as the faces. But I fear you're just going to get a split audience. And I know there's a promoting idea of, oh, who cares who they're cheering for? As long as they're cheering. Well, you should care, though. You should care. Because in a good story, again, we didn't root in Die Hard. Half of us weren't rooting for the terrorists. That's what makes Die Hard a classic, right? You had the great antagonist and the great protagonist. That's the classic formula for success. You don't want a movie where you say, well, you know, the sort of bad guy in this movie is still cool. I don't know. Maybe I'd like him to get away with it. Maybe I don't want this guy to catch him. You don't have those type of movies. If you do, with like the bank heist movies and things, it's the bad guys who are the cool, not too bad of guys, and it's the police who are corrupt and evil and that kind of stuff. But clearly there's still a protagonist and an antagonist. In this kind of a thing, Mike, I think that clouds it, and I'm not sure that's the best for either group.
I'm not sure either, and that's the thing. And you're right. I mean, look, if Alexa Bliss or whomever is the woman in the group, then that's gonna, and you're gonna want them to go against the bloodline, you know. You're gonna have to have a woman in the group with the bloodline. So that would have to be Naomi. I mean, apparently I'm looking at the roster, and Naomi is on the SmackDown roster as of
now.
Yeah,
they're still paying her.
So. I mean, if they do this, if they rush this thing, you can't rush. This type of thing with this bloodline versus Wyatt, you cannot rush this. You rush it, you're gonna screw it up if you rush it.
I agree. It's gonna be interesting to see how they handle this. And again, it's going to be so crucially important. And we can have this discussion all we want about, well, Bray Wyatt don't put on 4- and 5-star matches, so it's going to be a bust. Well, that's not true. That's not true. No, you're right. He's not going to put on a 40-minute wrestling exhibition like Will Ospreay. But he's going to sell way more merchandise than a Will Ospreay would ever sell in WWE, or Johnny Gargano is going to sell, or any of those other people. And he's going to bring more eyes to the product, too, because there's people more interested in his gimmick. And his gimmick is more marketable. So you're going to get that from him. But you got to handle it right. You got to handle it right, because if you don't, this thing could fall flat on its face. Now, I had a guy, I had a fan send me a picture of all of the characters, the human forms of those characters that they showed in Extreme Rules, and said, you know, this looks a little cheesy. This looks like, you know, trick or treat. Are they really going to have these guys come out in these outfits? Because those are some cheesy outfits. I don't know. I would assume no. Or if they do, they're certainly going to take the masks off and stuff. But I would assume they're not going to come out of them. They're just representatives of, but I don't know that for sure. I don't know what they got in mind. We'll find out together tonight, I think. But you're right. If this isn't handled absolutely correctly, this could bomb. Absolutely could bomb. I mean, I don't think you can have somebody coming out with a rabbit head on and that outfit and look menacing, really. It's going to look dumb. No matter what you do, it's going to look dumb. So you got to be careful of that. Hopefully, you know, they've got something better planned. We'll wait and see. Yeah, I was reminded, by the way, we were talking about AEW signing some people. Matt Taven also signed with AEW, apparently, or at least he's in there for a cup of coffee. And he was a NEW mainstay, a good wrestler. So we'll see where that goes. Once again, you know, Tony Khan has obviously Renee Paquette. Now, here's the thing. People are saying, oh, you know, well, that's a big signing. That's not a big signing. Her husband just signed a 5-year contract, basically the rest of his career probably, in AEW. Did you really think she was going to WWE? Did you really think she didn't want to be with her husband for the next 5 years? Of course she's going there. And what was the motivation, you say? Maybe better treatment, maybe better. No, the motivation is her husband is there. There is no other motivation. There doesn't need to be any other motivation. He signed a 5-year deal. He's locked in for 5 years. If she's going anywhere, she's going there. She's good at what she does. So, you know, let's hope they use her the right way. She's a good announcer. She's a good backstage interviewer. I don't know about in-ring personality. They touched on that once. Just once. And they never fully developed it where, I don't remember, I think it might have been The Miz called her out for her husband activities, and she made a face, and it was like, oh, we're going to get into some deeper stuff, and that never transpired. So I don't know. I don't think she's someone who's going to do anything too physical. But could she potentially manage her husband? I guess. So what do you think of Renee showing up, Mike?
Well, I mean, doesn't Lord Regal suffice as the manager of the Blackpool Comedy Combat Club? I mean, isn't he their manager
for 5 years?
Right.
Yeah.
And he's good enough on the mic. So, I mean, I think what's more likely to happen is in the case of, yes, she'll do backstage interviews, but in the case of if they want a female to comment to commentate on the women's matches, it'll be her.
Yeah, listen, there's a couple of ways you can use her, obviously, and it's fine, but I just think that fans are making too much out of, oh, you know, the WWE made an offer and she didn't want it. Well, of course she didn't want it. Her husband's over there for 5 years more. She's not going to isolate herself, so I don't, you know, I expect it. I fully expect it. I expected it sooner. To be honest with you, I think it was just a matter of her deciding whether she wanted to do any more wrestling stuff, because for a while she was like, I kind of want to move past it. Anyway, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Getting ready for the weekend.
So what's your thoughts on the Wyatt thing tonight? Is it going to be something good, or you think they're going to drop the ball?
Man, you know, I am one of the biggest proponents of holding Vince McMahon accountable. But at the same time, I'm going to separate out the Fiend. I think the Fiend I'm going to call a different thing. I don't know how that ever could have succeeded. So I'll go back to Wyatt originally. I think if you can keep him on a schedule where he is a special attraction and you try and stay somewhat grounded in his cult leader mannerisms, but you don't go supernatural with him, I think there is a chance this can succeed. But I think a lot of people have forgotten that this wasn't entirely Vince McMahon's fault. I think too many people think this as like, oh, that Seth Rollins Fiend Hell in a Cell match, which, yes, that was some of the worst booking I've ever seen. But if you go back further, Bray Wyatt was, yeah, he's smart. Yeah, he uses words not a lot of people know. But his promos, they had no connection to reality. They made no sense in context, and he would consistently lose me and hurt not only himself, but his opponents. Almost everyone that interacted with him would come out cooler on the other side. And so do I think it's possible for them to pull this off? Yes, I think there is probably a formula where it could work, but in reality, it's an uphill battle. And if you put a gun to my head, I'm going to say in 6 months, you know, the guy, his body, he still looks out of shape. Like, there's just a lot of things about Wyatt that concern me. And I don't necessarily see how they're going to fix it, but I'm optimistic because I do like Wyatt. He's definitely different than most of the things we see. But I think it's an uphill battle for them to succeed with him.
Okay, let me give you my opinion on it, because I think we probably differ. I don't think Bray Wyatt was ever meant to make any sense. The Ultimate Warrior never made any sense. He just said, "Oh, the gods up in heaven, we shall come down from the mountain," and nobody even knew what he said. If you ever listen to Charles Manson speak, Charles Manson makes no sense. He only makes sense to himself and his followers. And the idea behind it was, this man is as mad as a hatter. And for some reason, these other people seem to understand what he says and they believe it, but it's hishkabibble. It's nonsense. It's just, you know, word salad. And we don't get it. Well, I think that's what Wyatt was shooting for when he was the cult leader, is that to make sense. The only people who are supposed to really understand what I'm saying are the people who are brainwashed into my cult. Just like Charles Manson. Go listen to a Manson interview. It's word salad. So I think he was doing what he was supposed to do. As far as the Fiend, you handle the Fiend the same way you handle Andre the Giant. And that was, you don't make him somebody who is on the roster every single week, and he almost never loses. And he just shows up once in a blue moon, and you pretty much know whoever he's going against is getting their ass beat. Period. End of conversation. That's it. He's basically the Incredible Hulk to Bray Wyatt's Bruce Banner, where you say if you piss him off enough and things get going south enough, the Fiend's going to show up, and that's probably not good news for whoever he shows up to. So that's kind of how you handle the Fiend. As far as Wyatt, yeah, the problem with Wyatt's booking wasn't Wyatt's promos or even his wrestling. It was that they didn't know what he was. Sometimes I think Bray Wyatt is too highbrow for even the people he works for. In other words, I think Vince McMahon truly sat back and said, "Oh, this guy is the next Undertaker." No. He was the next kind of like Raven. Remember Raven? Raven said a lot of things didn't make a lot of sense either in ECW. But we understood what he was. And I don't think Vince McMahon ever understood what he was. And I know that Bray Wyatt wasn't too thrilled with being the supernatural Bray Wyatt at first. Then they developed the Fiend, which really, that shouldn't have been supernatural. It shouldn't have been supernatural. It should have been an alter ego that literally, because remember when they said, well, he underwent some kind of psychiatric treatment, and now he's happy, and he's the funhouse guy, and everything's bright and cheery and happy. Well, the alternative to that is that the Fiend is pure evil. It's the manifestation of all of the rage that he has built up and has no outlet for. So therefore, because he has to be smiley and happy in the funhouse host, all of that inner rage and turmoil builds its way up until it becomes the Fiend, and then the Fiend gets unleashed. I think that's a higher brow gimmick, and I think a lot of fans missed it, Cola.
Yeah, you know, I think those are really good points. And I think, look, we should all be rooting for Wyatt simply because he's different. And he's different in a way that I believe could be a very big draw. What I'm hoping they do, you got, like, Strowman on the roster. Strowman by himself, he's fine. He's a stand-in, but he's not a great draw. I'd love to see him back with Wyatt. Redbeard is out there, Rowan, right? Like, you could bring him back in. What I'd love to see is just give the original Wyatt character another chance with the right booking and see if it works. But what I hope that they do is give it a real shot for 6 to 7 months. I think the part that I want to see, right, is like what we are starting to get from Raw is a slightly more like realistic, I'm going to fight you, you're going to fight me, we're going to fight for this title product, rather than like pure, you know, comedy that we've seen in the past. And what I think will be challenging for them, right, and this is why I think they really need to keep Wyatt away from some of these main programs for a while, is like right now if you put Bray Wyatt against Roman Reigns or something, I mean, could that work? Maybe, but I think they need to rehabilitate the character kind of in a way that like AEW did with CM Punk before CM Punk went off like the deep end, right? They need 5 to 6.
No, I agree with you. I just think this, I agree with you, but now they're going to bring in 5 people, 6, you know, 6 counting Wyatt, and you're going to try to get all of them over? That's hard. That's really hard. You haven't even gotten Wyatt completely established over yet. I mean, he's over in the sense the fans are glad to have him back. And I think, and I'll always maintain, Tom, that the reason the fans like Wyatt is because he never treated them like they were idiots. You know, he never was like, well, the fans are yokels. And they're sitting in their chair going, oh, that's Seth Rollins' card. He always treated fans like, you're intelligent enough to know where I'm going. I've hidden little clues in some of the things I say. You'll pick them up because you're smart. So fans got the chance to finally root for a wrestler or boo them or whichever you're going to do who said, I don't think you're idiots. Because there's a lot of wrestlers who think you're an idiot. I'm sorry to tell you, I have literally dealt with many, many, many wrestlers. And when you get to talk to them real seriously, there's an awful lot of wrestlers who don't think that their fans are too high in the intellectual scale. So I do think, Tom, that Bray Wyatt was one of those guys who broke that mold, and the fans kind of appreciated him for it.
Agreed. And he's, you know, he's one of the few that, you know, outside the ring treat their fans like they're not, you know, yokels, or as we say in the business, as people say in the business, marks. He's very articulate outside the ring. I've seen him do interviews where fans, you know, ask him to remember, you know, or like give him trivia thing, and he's very, you know, he just thought it was great. Now, like he's very interactive
fans. He's a very open guy. He's a very creative guy. The problem with, and I think Triple H is right about this, the problem with people who are overly creative, and I think Bray Wyatt may be one of those overly creative guys, is that you come up with a million things a minute. Maybe I'll do this or I'll do that. No, forget that. I'm going to do this. And it becomes fireworks, you know. And some of that's got to be reined in to a certain extent, Mike, so that it's palatable.
Right, and that's the thing. And we know for a fact, I don't want to say for a fact, but we kind of have it on good authority that Alexa Bliss is going to have something to do with this. Now,
yes.
could they, because remember what she was doing with her gimmick before, you know, she was having, and we said, if she's having, you know, lighting fixtures and stuff falling on people, how are you going to beat her? You know, I mean,
she was fighting Randy Orton at one point, Mike, and
yeah,
succeeding. You can't have that. You can't go back to that. You can't. But the Fiend got the biggest pop, you know, when he was shown. The Fiend got the biggest pop next to Bray himself. So I do think, and it's probably going to be a separate Fiend this time. I'm hearing it could be Bo Dallas. It could be other people. But the bottom line is, you could work the Fiend out if the Fiend was once in a blue moon, if he was 911 in ECW, if he was Andre the Giant in the WWE, if he was just one of these guys that once in a blue moon, twice a year, whatever happened to be, you heard that music and you're like, oh, well, whoever's in the ring is fucked. You know, they're not going to win. That's okay, because then you still got a marketing bonanza with the Fiend. But it's Bray Wyatt who's got to carry the majority of this, because the Fiend didn't talk. The Fiend didn't have much to say. obviously, and you know, with the mask on and all that kind of stuff, there's only so much you could do. It looked a little cheesy when the lights came on. That's why they tried to make the red lights and everything for a while. But you could occasionally bring out the Fiend. If you watched The Incredible Hulk, The Incredible Hulk was on the TV show for how long? A couple minutes? The rest of the time it was Bruce Banner, right? He only came out to trash everybody. That's kind of the way you'd have to handle the Fiend, I think, caller, if you were going to bring the Fiend back. You can't have him be an every week character. It doesn't work.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think so. I totally get what you're saying with how difficult it's going to be to get 4 to 5 people over. I think the reason I say maybe get a few people in there is that if you're going to go with the cult gimmick, right, like the key to Wyatt, like you said, he needs to not wrestle very often, and when he does, he needs to win every single time pretty much for a while, right? And I think as a cult leader, to make that, like, believable, you need some people around him that can be beaten. You need some people around him that are normal and just brainwashed, that aren't saying the elevated stuff he is but can still speak. And, like, you need people that can essentially do the fighting for Wyatt while he's going to be doing the talking and kind of being – held back. I think the Fiend is absolutely something I would use for them too. I would use it maybe once or twice a year, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, something like that. Use it as a big draw. But I think the key to Wyatt is they need to build this slowly. They need to kind of recognize, like, you know, I mean, think of some of the best things that happen in, like, the WWE. The most over guys for the last 3 to 4 years have been largely over because they've negotiated their own contracts to not be around that much, right? Like, Reigns went to another level, in my opinion, over the last 5 to 6, 7 months since he signed that contract that says, I'm going to wrestle, like, 11 times a year, and I'll be on TV every 2.5 weeks, right? Like, that has made him feel like a much bigger deal. And I feel like you can mimic that with Wyatt a little bit.
Well, let me pick your brain on this, though. True or false, the Bloodline got over because first it was just Roman and Jay. And they gave Jay plenty of time to establish who he is, what he is. Then along comes Jimmy. And then there was a little bit of getting Jimmy established. And then they add the Paul Heyman to the mix. And now they added Solo Sikoa and a little bit of Sammy, who's already over. They didn't try to push all 5 guys at one time. The last time they did
Great
that
call.
Was Retribution, and what happened? Retribution went belly up. So
that's,
I'm worried.
It's a great point. It's a really good point, and I think at the very least, what we're seeing from WWE now is, I mean, you and I call into your show probably once a month, and for 5 years we were on this thing being like, oh my God, how do we continue to watch this? At the very least, this is an interesting conversation where there's real upside, where it's a fascinating situation where I think if they pull it off, it could mean a lot of money. And if they don't, I think it is what it is. I don't think anyone's expecting this to be a home run. I actually think people think it's going to go the other way. I think people think it's not going to work, which puts them in a good situation to potentially make it work. And I'm pretty excited to see it. So at the very least,
well, me too, and I'll tell you, the way I'm talking, you probably wouldn't think so, but Bray Wyatt's probably my favorite character. Because, again, I found him intellectually interesting from the standpoint of the cult leader was very interesting to me because I'm into that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, this is legit. And if you made him a character that somehow was able to get into other people's heads a little bit and cause drama between people just with his own meanderings, he's an interesting character. He's very different than anybody else. Then when the Fiend came along, initially I didn't like the Funhouse thing, but then with all these little hidden innuendos and things, I said, this could work, because you could have the Funhouse guy come down to wrestle, be almost like Waylon Mercy, where you're like, well, I'm happy, go lucky, and if you win, I'll shake your hand, but then you know something terrible is going to happen to that guy. And it's going to happen to him because of the Fiend, not because of the Funhouse Bray Wyatt. There was so much you could have done with him. And the WWE took the lowest road they could and said, let's make him a supernatural creature who can make lights appear on the ring and make a tractor move outside a form. And I said, God have mercy. You've destroyed it. You've destroyed what he could have been. Because they never really got it. They always thought Bray's trying to go towards supernatural. No, he's not. It was much more intellectual than that. So I've always loved Bray Wyatt. Does he put on great, great matches? No, he does not. I got news for you. Neither did Hulk Hogan. Neither did initially The Undertaker. I mean, there was like five moves going on there. They later on, yes, but not initially. Ultimate Warrior never put on a great match. He was fun to watch. So, again, in this context where you have the Johnny Garganos and the Tommaso Ciampas and the, and you know, and the people who are putting on the solid wrestling matches, you need some entertainers. Because a steady diet of those type of guys, I don't like either. I like some entertainers, too. And Bray Wyatt's the ultimate entertainer. He's probably the best entertainer, in my opinion, in the WWE. So you're going to get good stuff from him, Mike. And because you're going to get that good stuff, I think he has to be highly protected.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. And same thing, I mean, I don't know who they're going to introduce first. I mean, how many of them are they going to introduce tonight? Who they're going to introduce first? I mean, I don't know the status of Bo Dallas's contract if he signed. We don't know the status of we know Joe. They could probably get away with introducing Joe Gacy, you know, because he's already under contract, and they can just bring him up, or they can say, okay, Alexa Bliss, she's there, she can be introduced, and Nikki Cross or. There was another woman we were talking about to put with them, but yeah, it depends on who they want to introduce first. You know,
that's what's going to be the key. The key is how they handle, like the caller was saying. I want them to have a cult too, but I don't want that cult to be okay. They're the guys that get beat up, and then Wyatt is the tough guy. Because if that's the case, then it's retribution, and it's not going to work, because those guys, if they follow Bray Wyatt, should be a lot tougher, right? They should be. Harper and Rowan didn't get their asses kicked every week. And when they did, the reason behind it was they ain't very bright. Okay, if they got a hold of you, they were going to maul you like an animal. But if you were a really, really good wrestler and you had some really smart ring knowledge, you could get around them. You couldn't really hurt them, but you could pin them. That was okay. But if you're going to have, like, Joe Gacy come out there, Joe Gacy is not what I would call exactly Eric Rowan. Okay, you know, Joe Gacy's smaller than me. So I pray they do the right thing, because I think Bray Wyatt has had so much crapola booking for a guy who really, I think, has such a great creative mind and could do so much, and he always ends up getting the crapola, that I hope this time it isn't, Todd, because if it is, you know, three strikes, you're out. They've already done it twice.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, last time we saw Bray Wyatt, he was not – I at first, whether he did that funhouse thing, like you said, I didn't like it at first. Then it kind of grew on me, like, weeks later, kinda, and then they let him go.
It took a while, because it became more intellectual. When it became more intellectual, and I found those little hidden things, I'm like, "This is good. This is very interesting." And I thought you're going to have the two personalities: the overly happy, nobody's that happy unless they're on Ritalin type character, and then Jesus, he turns into a monster because of all the hidden rage. You know, eventually, I thought that would be interesting. They never really played that up that much. Last question before we leave. John Moxley signs a 5-year deal with AEW. Caller, is AEW going to be around in 5 years?
Yeah, I think, you know what? I like AEW. I think that they are, they're going to go through some growing pains. I think for the first time in their history, their problem is actually more with booking and some backstage stuff than anything else. But in my opinion, the reason they're going to be around is there are how many television networks and how many streaming services? A bazillion at this point, right? And how many semi-live kind of sports, whatever we want to call this, products are there? I think AEW, even with the ratings they have coming in, what, over a million people or something like that, for the amount of money it's going to cost to put that show on, which is not that much, I think that they've established themselves as a valuable commodity. And while they will have some down periods here, and I think that it's the WWE's turn to kind of start swinging upwards again, I think AEW, you know, like I doubted them extensively a few years ago, and I don't really doubt them now. I think they're going through a tough stretch, but this is not some like crazy tough stretch that is unthinkable for them to pull themselves out of. I think what you're seeing is some growing pains and them figuring stuff out, and I think they have a pretty big television deal on the horizon, and I would be surprised if they're not around in 5 years. I would be blown away, shocked if they're bigger than the WWE in five years. But I think that they are going to become a legitimate second promotion. I do.
See, here's my fear of AEW. I do think it's going to be around. I don't know if Tony Khan's going to be a part of it. I don't know if Tony Khan is the right guy for this. He might be the right guy to put all the money in. He might be the right guy to be the money mark. But I think he is starting to show his weaknesses. And I think that at some point he's going to have a ton of help. Now, I warned everybody when AEW first started and Tony Khan and company said, this is going to be kumbaya. The guys are going to work it out themselves. I'm going to write our own storyline. I said, you can forget it. Because if you don't know what egos are in a professional wrestling locker room, you better ask somebody. This is not going to work. And lo and behold. And then when he, as the leader of this, can't answer simple questions on an interview or can't stop CM Punk from basically destroying his whole federation on the mic when he's sitting right there, what do you think would happen if that was Vince McMahon? Vince McMahon would have got up and said, this is over. Okay, press conference over, and we got some talking to do. You're not going to sit here and disparage me and my whole company in front of me when I'm paying you $5 million a year to do it. See, I don't know if Tony Khan has the right makeup. He's going to need some help. I think he's going to need some help. Mike, I think it'll be around, but I don't think Tony Khan is necessarily going to be the main guy.
Right. I don't think he's – and like I said, I think because he did what he did with Cody could have – if they'd worked their problems out, Cody could have been there to bridge the gap between Tony Khan and whoever is going to come in and be the guy who actually runs the company.
Yeah, I thought Tony Khan was just going to be the money guy. I thought he was going to put in all the money, sit back and say, hey, man, you know, I'll take my percentage of this happily. You and some other guys run it. You're the wrestlers. But then it changed, and it was all like, well, no, Tony's going to run it. And as soon as he became front and center, things started to hit the fan. He's no, I don't know, man. You know, you can say what you want about Vince McMahon. Look how long he was successful. I don't think Tony's a Vince McMahon. I think he's going to need a guy. So I think if Tony Khan can find that guy to say, I'm dispersing these responsibilities to you, and I'm just going to be the money guy who sits back and, yes, I have a say in the business, but I'm not going to do booking and I'm not going to do press conferences and things. That's your baby. I think they'd be better off, Todd, because I've listened to Tony Khan 3 or 4 times now. I don't think he has what it takes to do that.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, we've been saying this for a while about Tony Khan. He don't know what he's doing half the time, man. He needs somebody in, doing the press conferences, the booking and everything and scouting and, you know, hire the ups, like the commentators and everything.
That guy right there in William Regal. You probably got that guy in Regal if you really wanted to do that. And there's probably some other guys you got back there too. I just think Tony fell in love with the idea that I'm going to be the front man for this company when he just should have been the behind the scenes guy. So, you know, we wish him the best. The more wrestling, the better, right? Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll be back here on Sunday to talk about what you're seeing tonight on SmackDown.